scop prasa.
That's our intro.
It's the top six in your back.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bioscope Prasa Presents Top 6, where we each list our top 3 picks for any movie topic we happen to come up with that week. Also, stick around for our recommendation segment at the end, where we recommend a movie you possibly haven't seen yet or haven't seen in a long time. My name is Ross.
And I'm Jody.
Let's get into it. Our top 6 for this week are most disappointing movies. So these are movies that completely let us down. Do you remember if your parents were ever upset with you or whatever, then they tell you,
I'm not angry,
I'm just disappointed. This is what these movies did to us. So Jody's gonna kick it off.
Number 3.
We actually mentioned this film a couple of times already. And I'm going with Tenet, or is it Tenet with a hard T?
Tenet. Titanic!
Directed by Christopher Nolan, the first movie to release at cinemas after the coronavirus.
Do they understand how much you love Christopher Nolan's movies?
I don't think these people do.
Why don't you tell them?
I fucking love Christopher Nolan to the point where...
It irritates the shit out of me.
I think people are already kind of pissed off at me for bringing him up in random conversation. I was very, very excited about this film. The trailers were insane. John David Washington, Robert Pattinson, Elizabeth Debicki, Kenneth Branagh. It's a really top-notch cast as well. Each and every trailer got me super, super hyped without knowing what the hell was going to go on. But that's generally what Christopher Nolan's movies have done, right?
Yep.
Inception, Interstellar, they all use that same marketing strategy where you just have no idea what you're going to get, but you're excited because it's original. And then I went into this movie and I came out and I was like, I don't really know what happened. I don't think I've ever seen a movie that was so complex that even after watching it and going to read up on what exactly happened and having that explained to me by various smart people, I still don't get what that movie is really about. I was so confused. I feel as though Christopher Nolan legit gave up on the audience in this film. So in previous movies where he's got like really super complex ideas, he takes the time to explain it to us. Like The Prestige, he explains the whole idea behind magic and how it works and you know, what people are
doing. There's some exposition that has to take place.
You know, and in Inception, where it became a lot more complex, he actually used the first half of the film to go through all of his exposition to get us in tune with what's going to come. In this movie, we got like, 5 minutes of dialogue explaining what time inversion is, and then it was like, rightio, here we go.
Yeah,
hold on tight. If you don't know what's going on, hold on tighter. I was so bloody lost, dude. This movie, it did not translate at all. I think he had a really complex idea in his mind that apparently has been brewing for 10 years, and he just couldn't get he could not convey what he wanted to do onto paper.
Yeah.
This movie was huge. It was something that I don't regret seeing at the cinema because it was somehow still entertaining, but it was a massive disappointment for someone who's a big Christopher Nolan fan.
I enjoyed it for what it was, but you and I are rowing the same boat. I don't know what the fuck happened in that film, but it was like, I'm going to have to watch it again.
Yeah.
And I did think it wasn't one of his best. To be fair, I don't know if I was so, because you're a bigger fan than I am, I wasn't as disappointed, but it definitely wasn't one of his best. And I will have to work. Fuck, that means another fucking 3 hours that I've.
I know, this movie's long.
And that's another 3 hours I have to put into it again. I have to watch it when Abby's not there.
Do you know what I did after watching this film? I went to go and rewatch Memento, which I think he used as a big inspiration for this. And Memento was his first, kind of studio film. It had a very similar idea to the pincer movement thing of time coming together and like things meeting in the middle. But it told that story in a much more eloquent and a much more logical way. This film just left us all asking like, what the hell just happened?
Smaller budget.
Yeah, smaller budget means for better Nolan. That's what I'm saying.
Smaller budget. You give him more money, he fucking gets up his own
he's
ass.
He's going to confuse you.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm going to go for the more dramatic effect.
Yeah, so my third pick is Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. So there is a saying that no one hates Star Wars more than Star Wars fans.
Mm-hmm.
But
accurate AF.
Yeah, listen. So I understand that it was a big, huge task to take on this trilogy as a whole, to bring it to a new audience, to tell new stories. It was a huge task. When the first one, The Force Awakens, came out, it was kind of a rehash of A New Hope, but I enjoyed it.
Very much.
I loved the new characters they introduced. Mm-hmm. I loved everyone's performances. Mm-hmm. And it was fun. There was spectacle and it felt like Star Wars. Yeah. I was really happy with
that. Got excited.
Film. Exactly. And it was a good starting point for the trilogy. Then The Last Jedi came out. This one split everybody. Mm-hmm. Either you loved it or it was the Marmite of Star Wars films. Yes, either you loved it or you fucking hated it.
Where were you on that scale?
I love Marmite, but... I thought it was okay, and I actually commended the fact that they took some risks. Mm. They killed Luke Skywalker, but not in a cocky way. He just gets absorbed into the Force.
In a pretty Star Warsy way, actually.
A pretty Star Warsy way, but they took big risks. The people thought that Luke was going to be one way, and he was kind of the other way. Yeah. He had an issue with the Force.
Mm-hmm.
He felt betrayed by Kylo and then turned his back on it.
Yeah.
Rey was the one who was going to help, you know, pull him out of it. I understood where they were going. So after that film, after The Last Jedi, I was like, okay, they're going to do something new and fresh and I'm going to love it. And one thing that they introduced, especially with Rey, was that she was not someone of any importance in terms of Jedi lineage, right? She had no connection to anyone.
But emphasized it.
But... then The Rise of Skywalker.
J.J. Abrams is back.
J.J. Abrams is back with his fucking lens flares. And in my opinion, they totally fucked it up. They did a 180 and tried to appease the fans that were disappointed with The Last Jedi. And by doing so, totally fucked it up because the choices didn't make sense. They then linked Rey to Emperor Palpatine. For no reason and out of nowhere. Tenuous. And it felt tacked on.
It was. It was tenuous at best.
Okay, I will just say it was a cuck idea. Jody will say it was tenuous at best. So everything felt super convoluted. I don't think they had a proper script to begin with. It was rushed. It was a mess. I feel like John Boyega's character was wasted the most. That was the biggest sin.
If anything, it was character recreation in most instances.
Yeah, because he had the most interesting story when it came to him being a stormtrooper and turning against, you know, the Empire. That MacGuffin cut. They must go somewhere and find this thing and do that thing and go to the fucking planet.
But it's not actually that important.
It's not important. Also, it didn't make sense. Palpatine was beaten by two lightsabers.
Yeah.
Most powerful fucking Sith Lord on the planet. Or in the world.
Somehow survive.
It was just lame.
It was.
And I think they did not have a full story planned out. Which is what George Lucas did have when he made the original trilogy.
Yes.
They didn't have the story planned out fully. And therefore, they don't connect to each other. All three movies are kind of like, this doesn't work.
Yeah. Russell was making zigzag motions with his hands while he was doing that, which I think...
they could tell.
Totally. There's a reason we got audio. The one thing that pissed me off incredibly, talking about regression, Kelly Marie Tran had a lot of fan outrage against her after the second movie. And then they... totally right out of the last film after giving her a massive storyline in the second movie and then just like, I need to go help on the ship. I'm fucking
blatant fan service. Like, you can't
horrible
be held hostage by fan
and,
opinion. Like,
and
just
to
tell
do
your
that,
story.
To do that to her as a person and an actor was just ugh.
Trash, bro.
Guys.
And it upsets me because Star Wars is very close to my heart. I fucking love it. Luckily, we have The Mandalorian, at least. Also, that kiss at the end with Kylo and Daisy.
Totally platonic.
Platonic kiss.
Totally platonic.
You know how your two friends are just hanging out and then you start fraying all of a sudden?
Because you are that platonic.
Yeah.
The fact that those, like, shit like that, like Palpatine existing and that kiss... like, they felt the urge to, like, make big announcements after the film and say they weren't in love. It was platonic and he was a clone. It tells you how little thought was given to those things,
no
actually.
No thought. Super disappointed with that movie. Piece of crap.
Can we move on?
Yeah, move on.
Number 2.
Without a doubt, my absolute least favorite Marvel movie, even below the absolute trashy shit that was Thor, The Dark World.
Thor, The Dark World?
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad.
Do you remember anything that happened in that movie?
The villain was a thing?
Yeah. Chris Eccleston. You didn't even know that? Damn it. Anyway, my number 2 movie is Iron Man 3. The amount of disappointment I had with this film cannot be captured within the essence of this 5-minute conversation. Alas, I shall try.
Alas.
Directed by Shane Black, as one of our favorite directors who doesn't really get a lot of recognition.
Yeah, you should.
Directed and written by him, which you can really see in the script and the snappy dialogue. This film was positioned as a very interesting take on the post-New York, you know, Avengers New York scenario. Like, Tony going through some form of PTSD, how he deals with that, his worries about can he still do the job. And then they showed us that he's going to actually take on his most iconic villain in the Mandarin, who was, according to the trailers, played by Ben Kingsley. I was so excited about this movie. I was buzzing as I went into the cinema. I probably had...
Were you on drugs? Or?
I was... My medicine levels were so high. Medicinal levels. I was as excited for this as I was for Avengers. And about 1 hour into the movie...
Nice.
We get the absolute worst Marvel twist ever, where the Mandarin is not the Mandarin. He's actually Trevor. He's a British actor.
Trevor Slattery.
Trevor Slattery is an actor who was hired to play a role.
My name's Trevor. Trevor Slattery.
What are you? What are you, a decoy? You're a double, right?
Well, I mean, I'm not a study. No, absolutely not. Don't hurt the face. I'm an actor.
You got a minute to live. Fill it with words.
Just a role. The Mandarin. See, it's not real.
I've never felt myself deflate.
It's funny. Though.
I have never felt myself deflate so much in a film to the point where I there was a tiny spark of hope where I was like, no man, he's gonna say he's the Mandarin. He's gonna tell him he's the Mandarin.
Were you close to walking out?
I was this close to walking out. The only thing that kept me in that cinema was the hope that Trevor was gonna say, I'm talking cack, I'm actually the Mandarin.
Double twist. That's me, Mandarin.
I was hoping for it, and it just never happened.
Yeah. Anyway. So the Mandarin does exist in the universe, just not in that form. Yo, you look downtrodden, my friend.
Dude, I've never felt that amount of disappointment at a twist in a movie. Yeah. Never. I understand. Shane Black wanted to take a risk. He wanted to completely pull the rug out from under us. Unfortunately, in my case, he pulled it out. I knocked my head and I got concussed. And I went into a coma.
Nice.
And I died.
Wow, that's... that's hectic. I can't relate because this movie didn't have touched me the way it touched you. I thought it was okay. Like, fine. I also agree. I didn't necessarily like the twist of it. But I did find Trevor's character quite funny. I'll give him that. That movie is loosely based on the Extremis storyline, which is one of my favorites. So definitely. I was disappointed in they didn't bring in through the best things of that story.
And they hinted at the Demon in a Bottle storyline as well, because I thought they would actually chase the alcoholism thing.
Yeah.
And
Tony Stark is a huge alcoholic in the comic books.
So I thought that with the PTSD, they'd link it to that.
Yeah.
And then also bring in the Extremis thing with the amazing suits, which, I mean, we got nanotech later, but...
And if you got Robert Downey Jr., why not do something with addiction, you know?
He can bring his own personal
stuff. Yeah, because he was a druggie of note.
Crazy drug.
But he made it through, you know. Another thing, a cure for drug addiction is money.
Yeah. Money and success.
Yeah, turns out money can cure quite a lot of things. Anyway, I wasn't as disappointed, but I understand where you're coming from, my friend. I get it. And I hurt with you just because you hurt so bad. I hurt you. Like Danny Koppel said, it hurts so bad. Mm-hmm. I hurt with
you. It's like that hip hop song, When You Hurt, I Hurt. It's like that.
That's not the lyrics, but okay.
It's not.
It's when you move, I move. When I move, you move.
I like my version.
Your version is so depressing. When I hurt, you hurt. Just like that. When I just all the people in the club just fucking getting down. And his bride's like crying. When I heard you, just like that. This hurt me possibly almost as much as I think you got hurt by Iron Man. Mm-hmm. So the movie I'm talking about is The Last Airbender. This movie is based on Avatar, The Last Airbender. Mm-hmm. So it's an animated series that debuted in 2005 and ran for 3 seasons. It is one of the best animated series of all time, mm-hmm. in my opinion. I don't know how many people watch animated series. Mm-hmm. I watch a lot of animated series.
Kekjano Popenjis.
Yeah, Kekjano Popenjis.
I don't watch Popenjis.
Popenjis is for fuck now. They make Popenjis for adults. Oh. Yeah. Bojack Horseman. Pompadour. Don't you know that one? So anyway, it has heart. It's got action. It's got comedy. It's got likable characters. They are fully developed. They have proper arcs. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely amazing. And deciding to make a movie about this series is a task on its own. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you actually condense
all that story.
We're gonna fucking get into that because. M. Night Shyamalan.
That's how you say his name.
Shyamalan.
And Shyamalan.
Shyamalan. I like my way better.
But that's wrong. Just phone him M. Night.
Do you call him M. Night?
That's Michael Knight.
His full name is Michael Knight Big Shyamalan.
Big fan of the show.
You just fucking put him on blast now. Shit, kid is gonna pull up. He's gonna pull up. Michael Knight Shyamalan, he was tasked with bringing this amazing story to the big screen in live action, no less. In this world, which is largely based on Asian cultures, mm-hmm. there are factions of people that have the ability to manipulate
elements.
Yeah, so you have waterbenders, earthbenders, firebenders, and airbenders, right? And each of them have their own unique look. They each have their own cultures. Mm. But it's basically like kung fu with elements. It's amazing. Yeah. That's why the action in the animated series is so good. It's like I'm looking at my notes. I don't even know where to start with this guy.
Start at the beginning.
Yeah.
I haven't watched this movie, so you've got tons of time. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So think about that, no? Mm-hmm. The idea of being able to manipulate those things. Mm-hmm. Now you have the Avatar. So mm-hmm. this is a being that is reincarnated like every so few thousand years.
Like a Buddha vibe.
Yeah, mm-hmm. almost like that. And the Avatar is the only being that can manipulate all four.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so not only can he manipulate all four elements, mm-hmm. but he can also go into what they call the Avatar state, mm-hmm. where he invokes the power of all the previous Avatars before him.
Mm-hmm.
I say him because it's a male in the current story. But there have been female avatars for all you woke motherfuckers out there. Jodie's sister specifically.
They go both ways.
Yeah, anyway. So you have this amazing lore. You have this rich history, this world that you're getting into.
Sounds magical.
Oh my God, it's a wonderful place. Very dangerous though. Because the Fire Nation attacked. So those are the main villains. Anyway. I don't want to go on too long because I do want you to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched the animated show?
I watched Speed Racer. So.
No, the animated series.
No, I'm going to go straight into the movie. That's an investment.
This is Harry Potter all over again.
You want me to invest my time in the animated
series? Yes, it's quick, bro.
I'm not going to watch Popenjis.
Popenjis is... Where's your inner child? He died with Iron Man 3.
He did. I can explain to you. Shane Black pulled it out of the bar.
Anyway, first sin, whitewashing of the cast.
Mm.
It's largely based on Asian culture, right? All these main characters are white.
Yeah.
That kid was basically hired because he could do kung fu. That's the only reason.
So it's a convenient school to have.
Which leads me into the performances because the performances. What
is Harry Potter all over again?
Yo, full circle. But you're wrong. But full circle. Performances were terrible. Humorless, this film. Absolutely. Like, the stupid attempts at jokes does not land at all.
He's not known for his
humor. He's not known for his humor movies, at all. I mean, I think the funniest movie he made was The Visit.
Yeah.
Which also is borderline at times.
And the humor's more, you're not laughing because they're trying to be funny. You're just laughing at the weirdness of what's
going on. Yeah, it's kind of stupid. Yeah. So all the art of the animated show has been removed.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned the action and the the manipulation of the elements, and it's based on Kung Fu, so it's quite exciting, it's electric.
Yeah.
In the film, it takes a fucking group of them, do a whole Cirque du Soleil performance, and they move one pebble across the fucking screen. It is so bad, Jody. This was supposed to be a first in a trilogy. It had a budget of 150 million, eventually. A lot of fucking money. Industrial Light and Magic did the special effects, and they are
massive,
top-notch.
They are one of the
But
biggest.
Here's where the issue comes in. So, because of 3D conversion, and the studio wanted to convert the movie to 3D and still make their release date in America, they had to cut 30 minutes of the film.
What?
So 30 that minutes in a film is a long time.
That's a you lot can of tell story. Just
so much story. Yeah. And if you rewatch it, you'll see that they refer to something that you never seen because it was cut in a hurry.
It's some odd cuts.
Yeah, like odd cuts. Okay, M. Night Shyamalan is one thing. He gets a lot of shit.
That was a bad that's one. That's not his. Also,
a better director could have probably saved it. I don't think this is his wheelhouse. Big budget films. He should not fucking touch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should tell your small little horror-ish stories. You know what I mean?
That's what you're good at.
They chose the wrong director. Mm. They chose the wrong cast.
They meddled.
And they didn't involve the creators.
Well, that's just stupid. So did they just buy the licensing?
They bought the rights for it. Oh. And then they started developing it. And then the creators left the project due to creative differences.
Fuck me.
So this movie was doomed to fail.
Yeah.
And it hurt me so bad because the show was so good. It is so good. It still holds up. You can still watch it. It's on American Netflix if you have a VPN.
That's slightly illegal, but
it's not illegal. They can advertise. Just do it.
True, there's legal sites that do that.
Right, just get VPN. Get a VPN. You can watch Avatar: The Last Airbender.
I feel you, dude. Like I told you, I haven't seen it, but like your number two literally is what happened to my number one. So if you don't have any other anger that
no I'm done. I'll probably beat my wife when I get home.
Abby, he actually loves you. He's not
no me. Abby will move me. She can take me. Trust me.
Number one.
My number one is The Dark Tower, which is based on the Stephen King series by the same name. Literally everything you've just mentioned, trying to condense a story, studio meddling, poor choice of director, are the exact same issues that I sat with here. This movie, as you guys know, I'm a massive book fan. Stephen King is like definitely one of my favorite authors. I've read all of his books. And The Dark Tower is actually 8 books in total, the entire series, which Stephen King wrote from, he started it at the age of 19. Right up till when he turned about 60 years old.
I didn't know that.
That's when he got the first idea for it and all of that. So when I read that, and over a span of probably something like 5 years, there was continuous news about like Paramount buying the rights, Universal getting it, moving it to Sony. You know, it jumped around a lot. This movie was in production limbo and production hell for about probably closer to 10 years, actually. Eventually, we get concrete news that Sony has not only bought the rights to the film, but they've cast the lead actors, confirmed. We have Idris Elba cast as the gunslinger, which brought a lot of controversy because they were actually, instead of whitewashing, they cast a black person in the white role.
You can't say blackwashing.
No, that's why I just said they cast a black person in the white role. They cast Idris, which I was very excited about. He was perfect for that character. They cast Matthew McConaughey as the villain. The Dark Tower was kind of like Stephen King's big Western fantasy magnum opus. So there's a lot of Western themes in it. The lead character is called the Gunslinger because he's like the guy.
Why? Why is he called the Gunslinger?
He's got guns that he slings, yo.
Damn, he's slinging them. I didn't see that one coming.
I know. Based on Clint Eastwood from The Man With No Name in The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly, blah, blah, blah. All of the casting stuff happened. They named a director who I even can't even remember right now what the brother's name is, but it was a young up-and-coming director who hasn't really done anything else of note. But the actors are like, they are into it, right? Idris and Matthew McConaughey are actually tweeting each other back and forth, So the two lead actors are totally into it. And then we get this really interesting bit of story news, which is that the books end in such a way that the story starts at the beginning again, but you have hope that the protagonist this time is going to achieve his goal. So after the original 8 books, he actually gets thrown back in time to the start of the first book, and he has to start again, but he's done something different this time so that he most likely will achieve his goal.
Cool. I don't have to read it now.
It's a dope ending, right?
Yeah.
And the book, or this movie, is supposed to be a continuation of that. Mm. So it's actually taking us from this book one again, right?
Yeah.
But telling us a story we haven't actually seen.
Okay.
So now I'm excited because I'm like, oh, I'm going to actually see the proper resolution to it with, like, hopefully a happy ending.
Yeah.
There's cool castings. The first trailer comes out a month before the movie releases.
Mm, that's a bad sign.
That is a horrific sign. Most trailers, as people know, come out at sometimes a year before the movies come out.
Yep.
A month before they drop the first trailer, they drop a shitload of images, and then the movie comes out, and you can literally see that there was no thought given to this. They actually had no plan to continue this beyond one movie. I'm 100% certain with the way that they released this movie.
At what point do you think they decided that they're not going to carry on after the first screening, I think?
I think after the first screening, which would have probably happened before the film was done, before they finished shooting, they would have already screened for, like, executives.
Yeah.
If that, because that's, I think, when they determine their marketing strategy. Yeah. And if you determine that we are not going to pump any money into this movie, we're just going to do the bare essentials to get by, that movie is screwed.
Mm.
Dude, the amount of disappointment that you had for Last Airbender, that's what I felt for The Dark Tower. It is my favorite book series.
Mm.
I had all this hope with, like, this really cool casting, this idea that they're going to tell the story that we haven't seen yet, and then they just gave zero fucks when they made the movie. In my lifetime, there will not be another attempt at that movie, and I'm just screwed.
Don't say that. Everyone thought Trump wouldn't be president, and look at him.
Yeah, but that's... I know,
but there's hope is what I'm saying.
I don't think there is, man.
No, I just watched it as like, oh, here's a fantasy movie. Because I know I didn't read the books anymore. Yeah. So here's a fantasy movie and it's cack. it's like a shit.
And it's short.
It's super short.
You know what else is really sad? It was shot mostly in Cape Town. So almost...
Funny story.
All the action scenes.
I actually met Idris Elba. Oh,
fuck off.
Yeah, no, I saved his life. No, I didn't. I didn't save his life. It's that the story's not that great. I was just running on the promenade and I noticed it was Idris Elba standing there with his family and shit. But I didn't want to be a fan to be like, go to his with his family and shit. But I still, then I stood there and was like contemplating and I had my friend with me and he's like, go talk to him. And I'm like, he's with his family. Like, I can't just do that. Obviously, Idris noticed all this cuck. And then he, cool as a cucumber, fucking walks away from his family, walks to the edge of the, and just overlooks the sea to give me an opportunity to go and, this guy.
Idris is so cool.
Come on, man. He's cool so as cool. fuck. And I walked over there and I was like.
Does he smell as nice as he looks?
I'm a huge, I couldn't smell. I was by the sea. If he was going for smelling like the sea, he
pulled it off. That's exactly what he was going for.
He shook my hand. I said, I'm a huge fan. I love Luther. You're doing amazing work. And I'm a super fan. And keep doing what you're doing. And he's like, yeah, man, appreciate that. Well, my Idris is not
so I don't think that's what he's after.
It was just like, yeah, man, dope. And he gave me a fist bump. And then I ran on my
I hope you've never washed your hand again.
I haven't. Abby complains. Yeah, that's the smell right now. It's my
damn it, that's not fair.
It's not fair. And I wish I could have met him on better terms while he was making a better movie.
He probably knew the movie was shit.
Because I tell people, oh, I met Idris Elba. Oh, why was he here?
He was visiting. The movie was so bad.
Even from an outsider's perspective, someone who didn't have, it was just a cack movie.
Exactly.
Shame. I feel for you on that one. But I don't think you were as upset as I upset for my number one. If you know me, I'm a huge Batman fan. I read comic books. I'm into the culture. Mm-hmm. But Batman is my number one superhero. So the last representation of Batman was Christian Bale we're coming off a hot streak. Mm-hmm. And our next representation of Batman is announced in 2014
mm-hmm.
with Batfleck or Ben Affleck, mm-hmm. as you would like to
call it.
Ben Affleck, yeah.
It's like Ben Affy.
He's so dreamy. Anyway, and not only do they announce who's going to be Batman, but they announce that the next film in the DC Extended Universe is going to be Batman v Superman. It was the first time that we were going to see Batman and Superman in the same movie
mm-hmm.
and fighting, no less. Yeah. They were going to have some conflict. So mm-hmm. I was, I can't even say excited. Mm-hmm. I was beside myself
mm-hmm.
waiting for this movie to see what they were going to mm-hmm. what they were going to do. Keep in mind, the previous movie was Man of Steel. It was still serviceable. It was cool. Mm. And I liked Henry Cavill in the role.
Mm.
I thought he was a good Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Then Batman v Superman comes out. So now I'm already cack excited. I tell my wife, we're going to go watch Batman mm-hmm. v Superman. It's going to be amazing. Watch this space.
Mm-hmm.
I immediately had to apologize to her after we left the cinema. And that was the day that she decided she's never going to watch another DC movie ever again.
It's so sad when you lose their trust, eh?
Oh, my God, man. So, positives, I would say Ben Affleck as Batman.
Definitely.
Huge positive.
Best fight scene for a Batman on film.
Well.
That way I've seen.
When he wasn't murdering them, yes.
I mean, yeah, but I'm just saying, man.
Yeah, okay. Best fight scene. That was Batman to the max. Exactly. He took them down. He took them out quick, mm-hmm. hard, fast.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Negatives. I feel like everything else. No, I was going to talk about positives and negatives, but then it's just my negative list is just so big.
It's long.
I did not feel that Superman was Superman mm-hmm. in this film. He felt like it was a last minute for him to be Superman.
Yeah.
He didn't enjoy saving people. He didn't enjoy helping anyone. It was just like all this, ugh, okay, I must do it again.
Yeah, that was Henry Cavill's face through the whole movie, basically.
Yeah, but who's he being directed by?
I know. I'm not blaming Henry.
No,
I'm saying
Henry. First name. I love this first name.
Henry's a big fan of the show.
Huge fan. Wonder Woman is in the film, but if you remove her from the film, fuck, it doesn't matter.
True. But I will say that she, for the times that she's there, she's quite scene-stealer in terms of fighting abilities compared with Superman, for example.
Yeah.
Which is stupid because then don't call it Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah.
Call it like Origin of the Trinity or something. Yeah, but this
was lead up to it's Dawn of Justice. Doomsday looks terrible. In a word, unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
I understand they needed a villain, but Doomsday was the wrong one.
Mm.
Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor, I thought he was on the spectrum.
I thought he went beyond the spectrum. I thought, you know, he was like, cocaine is a hell of a drug.
No, maybe they told him, oh, you have to play this autistic. And he just misread it.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, autistic. I'll go with that.
The head keeps on coming.
Twitchy and weird, not at all. Or what the normal, no, I wouldn't say normal idea, but what
but the Lex typical Luthor is. Lex Luthor characterization is someone who is like probably more intelligent than Batman, which is saying a lot. He is, he's for villains, he's probably, okay, let's go with as intelligent as.
Let's go with Batman. As intelligent just to he keep
is,
the peace.
So he's super smart, he is super smooth, he's.
But not only that, he's physically strong.
Yeah.
Because he is jealous of Superman, mm-hmm. essentially. And he's like, he deserves to be the best human being,
mm-hmm.
the pinnacle of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So he's physically super, he's physically strong, like mm-hmm. as a human can be.
Mm-hmm.
Super smart. In the comics, he builds himself this suit so he mm-hmm. can become a superhero, basically. Mm-hmm. Terrible decision to cast Jesse Eisenberg.
I feel like there was a lot of tick involved.
No, so much tick. Like, it must be. Do you want to talk about Martha?
So, the movie's premise is Batman versus Superman.
Yes.
The whole thing about the movie is that they must fight and there has to be a winner with their fight, right?
Yes.
Batman comes up with an ingenious way of taking on Superman. He manages to weaponize the kryptonite. He manages to create an insane suit for himself.
Yeah.
he somehow beats this guy that is unbeatable. He is about to stab him with his kryptonite spear right through his bloody Kryptonian heart.
Mm.
And then what happens? Clark Kent decides to shout, "Save Martha!" Which translates to "Save Martha," which, oh my fuck, just happens to be Bruce's mother's name.
100%. Bruce's mother's name is Martha, and Superman's mother's name is Martha.
Save Martha! Why did you say that name? Martha, why did you say that name?
Stop! Please, stop!
Why did you say that name?
It's his mother's name. It's his mother's name.
And then, oh wow, amazing, Lois is there to explain to Bruce, Martha's his mother.
And he's like, what? Your mother's name's Martha? My mother's name's Martha.
Are you just? Why were we fighting?
Oh my word. And they are Brassa, the end. I feel like Zack Snyder does not understand these characters. And also, Zack Snyder is a bad storyteller.
I agree.
Yes, sis. Disappointment of note, bruh. And now I don't even care. Like, that movie made me numb to the point where I don't even care what they fucking do anymore. Even though I am excited for the new Batman. But if that's cuck, it's fine.
My life's been destroyed.
Yeah, you can't hurt what you've already killed, you know?
Oh, yo.
It's Retromendations. Vernalas.
Hey, something happier.
Yes.
So, we just spoke about disappointing movies. For our recommendations this week, we are going to talk about a movie that has exceeded our expectations or took us by total surprise when we had very low expectations going into the film.
Yep.
Ross, you want to go first? Or
no,
I?
Because I just went.
You're still getting over this?
Yes. I'm still getting over the Batman thing, so you fucking talk about it.
I'm going to go with The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. This movie was directed by and stars Ben Stiller and is a really weird film. So the premise of the movie is that Ben Stiller plays the title character Walter Mitty, and he's this guy who works at Life magazine, and he does the photo print, like actual film development of the images that go into the magazine.
Mm.
And he also, as a subplot, is a guy who is borderline narcoleptic because his daydreams are so intense that he like starts coiling while he's talking and fantasizes.
They're like
things.
Full on hallucinations.
And this movie, I think, really went under the radar. But it's a film that the first time Jen and I watched it, like, I actually got close to tears. I thought it was a very emotive performance by Ben Stiller. I think that it's a very well cast film. And all the dream sequences and stuff were kind of interesting, but not super integral. I like the fact that he more focused on his character's like ability to overcome the obstacles in his real life. And it was just so much better than what I thought it was going into it.
We went to watch it in the cinema, actually. And it was really a good time. Great soundtrack as well.
Yes. Oh, the music was amazing.
Great soundtrack, good performances. Mm. I co-signed this shit. And it kind of inspires you. It kind of makes you think afterwards, like, shit, maybe I should be doing something more.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be like, I mean, he goes to incredible things now, yeah. But
we start a podcast.
Exactly, man. Secret Life of Ross and
Who knows
Charlie.
What your goals are? I mean, so,
go do it.
But if it's murder or rape, please don't go do it.
Like, it's too late. We've already seen.
Oh, fuck.
You
Tony, what have you done?
You co-signed.
I co-signed the movie. I didn't co-sign murder and rape.
Damn it.
Don't rape, guys. Don't murder.
Don't do any of that stuff. Yeah. But follow your dreams if they are legal.
Yeah, follow your dreams if they're legal. That's a t-shirt.
That's a save of note.
Good one. So my recommendation for this week, you all know it. You all love it. Speed. No.
Oh, I was going to martha this shit.
It's not Speed Racer. It's not Speed Racer. This one is actually Seven Psychopaths.
Mm.
You probably haven't even heard of this fucking movie. Because it, under the radar, this wasn't even close to a fucking radar.
Mm-hmm.
This movie stars Colin Farrell, Sam Rockwell, Christopher Walken, and Woody Harrelson is in this.
That's an amazing
So it's written and directed by Martin McDonagh. Mm. He directed In Bruges and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Colin Farrell's character, he's a screenwriter, and he has a title, which is Seven Psychopaths, but he doesn't have a script.
That's G genius. I've got a name.
So he has these two friends, Hans, which is Christopher Walken, and Billy, who is Sam Rockwell. And they make a living basically by kidnapping rich people's dogs. And then collecting the reward for bringing them back. It's genius. A whole scam. That's what they do. So him now skirting with these two friends, they kidnap the wrong person's dog, Woody Harrelson's dog, who's a big time gangster. After that, like, hijinks ensues, right? And he is basically, from this whole experience, pulling
story material.
Story material and inspiration for his fucking script. And he's having a terrible time, but because they encounter all these weird characters throughout the film, he's like putting it into their script. I'm not going to spoil anything. First chucks, it is cack funny. It's dark comedy though, so it's not like for everyone.
And I'd say almost like British, like this is a very European style.
Yeah, it actually reminds me of Pulp Fiction at times. It's Pulp Fiction-esque, but funnier. The dialogue is super sharp, super witty, and it's surprisingly gruesome at times.
Yes, the gore does like hit you out of nowhere.
It hits you out of nowhere.
As we said previously, from a side of. Rockwell totally just
steals the show.
Yo, and in this movie, it was the first time he like was brought to the forefront for me.
One of my favorite scenes in this movie is when Christopher Walken is walking through the desert. But he walked cock far, bro. He walked so fucking far, and he finally gets to a gas station, and this guy pulls a gun on him, and he's like, "Put your hands up," and he's like, "No."
Put your hands up. No. What?
I said no.
Why not?
I don't want to.
But I've got a gun.
I don't care.
Doesn't make any sense.
Too bad.
It is so brilliant that he just doesn't care. Because he walks so fucking far, he does not have the energy to deal with this dude and his gun. Amazing movie. I recommend it. If you have any movie that you were super disappointed before, or any movie that took you by surprise, you can tell us. Tell us how they can tell us, Jody.
They can even tell us about how disappointed you were by Batman vs Superman.
Yeah, you can complain about whatever the fuck we talk about.
Guys, hit us up on Instagram. It's Bicycle Brass Podcast on Instagram. Look us up, like us, share the page as well, and interact on the posts, comment on the things that you like, dislike, give us ideas. We are up for engagement, guys. Also, if you feel like you're a little bit older and you like to type long emails, you guys are welcome to email us at bicycobrasser@gmail.com.
We will start giving people special shout-outs and dedications. Remember when people used to do that? If you interact with the page, you'll get a shout-out or a dedication.
You can tell your goose you smacker.
Yeah. You can dedicate a song. If you want to send a shout out, start your mail or message with, "I'd like to send a shout out
to my mom."
And if you want to send a dedication, say, start your mail or message with, "I'd like to send a dedication."
And we'll be sure to send your dedication or shout out.
100%. So take it easy. Stay safe, everyone. Safe, Jody.
Safe, Ross.